each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. TGIF, again. Thank God it's Friday.
Yay.
For real, beautiful day in Chicago. We've said that every day this summer, I think, almost.
It stayed this way all year.
So beautiful. Wouldn't it be nice? Well, I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus on this wonderful day. It's kind of like a little Easter, isn't it, really? Because today is the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. And this is a beautiful feast day, actually. You know, because what are we celebrating? What are we proclaiming? What are we giving witness to? The fact that indeed what the Lord said is true, that after he rose from the dead, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose from the dead, and he said, you know, in the appearances, the resurrection appearances, he said on a couple of occasions, he says, I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, there to prepare a place for you that where I am, you too will be. And so when the church celebrates the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she's giving, you know, full witness to the truth that indeed a place has been prepared for us, and that Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mystical rose, right? The mystical, recall by tradition, the mystical rose, the first of us, the first to come to full bloom, you know, full bloom, a full sharing in the resurrection of her Son, and the fullness of her personality and body and soul and body, mind, soul, spirit, the whole of her person is there in sharing in the resurrection of Christ. And it's from there that she reigns, can you say? Not reigns, como, like a rain, you know, rain.
Shower.
Rainy days will come. Mm-hmm. No, but reigns as a queen reigns, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, we celebrate the queenship of Mary.
Next Friday.
Next Friday?
That's right.
So, anyway, so happy Feast of the Assumption. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, certainly through the hour. First of all, welcome again, Geraldine, who has been assumed into the studio, right?
Yes, Father.
Without any disrespect to Our Lady, you know,
we're talking
about a different kind of assumption, you know.
Right.
But you've been,
this is feet of clay assumption, yes.
There you go, yeah. So how are you today, Geraldine?
Very good, Father. Yeah. Very happy to be here.
It's so nice seeing you this morning at the first person I saw this morning. Well, no, I can't
There's
say that.
There's a treat.
Yeah, because, it was a treat. And but you weren't the first, because the woman who prepares the coffee at Starbucks. You know, I got in the habit of doing that because it just gets me out early in the morning. So they open at 5 o'clock. So at 5 o'clock, I pick up my coffee, and I bought coffee not only for myself, but I bought coffee for who?
Me.
Geraldine, yes.
And a goodie, too,
and a goodie
which was
well.
Delicious.
A scone, a blueberry scone.
Yes. It wasn't a stone, but it was a scone.
It'd be nice I do something nice for somebody.
You do know? Many things nice.
Because I know that if I didn't do it, she'd be wondering, you know.
Right. Oh, Father, he's so tantrum time,
yeah.
Yes.
No, really.
A father could be nice.
When he wants to.
When
right?
he wants to.
I knew you were going to say that.
What does that mean?
I knew it. Here it goes.
His good deed for the day.
Exactly, yeah. Well, hopefully it's not the last, you know.
No, no.
Oh, never.
Have I done a good deed since then? I don't know. I think I've done a couple of good deeds. So, but we're not counting, you know. I don't make a count of those.
Like me, you do too many to keep track of.
Well, aren't you full of yourself?
He's full of something, Father.
That's great.
Well, I try to help out around the house.
No, you do. You do.
Like that all the time, so
he's always doing something. You're a good doer. Good deed doer. Anyway, that's
ten times.
So, Christine, what did you mean by that?
Oh, here we go.
Isn't it nice outside, Father?
Huh? It's very nice outside. I love the weather outside.
It's beautiful out. It is.
It is.
Anyway.
I'm just trying to be funny. I'm
just glad it's Friday.
You know why, Father? Because it's Friday and I'm just excited.
I know. You're excited because you get 2 days.
So I'm in a good... Yes, I get 2 days.
2 days off.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's a beautiful day. It really is. It's a nice day. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. I'm glad. Great.
Not really.
Well, oh, no.
I'm just trying to stay in the mood.
Your nose is growing,
right.
Tony.
It is.
Pinocchio. All right. So, Jerry, how are you doing these days? I mean, really, come on.
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not getting in anybody's... way or
getting
this. Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, I think they would have shouted at me or something.
A little gentler, would you say, these days?
I think so, yeah. Strangely enough.
Yeah.
But then I'm not interacting with people as much.
That's
kind of a blessing for the other people.
Well, you know, I've always said.
Maybe that's what I need.
That perhaps, you know, we all. I've always said, I think I told the spiritual director this once, you know, when I was really full of myself. I said, you know, if it weren't for people, I'd be a saint.
Yes.
And he said, you know, it's only on account of people that you can become a saint. So it's because people put us to the test, and we put others to the test.
Oh, right? Yes.
So we need those saint makers around
us. Exactly. You know, we've all got rough edges. Some have more rough edges than others, you know.
Well, I know I'm definitely a saint maker myself.
You're a saint maker, yes, exactly. And you'd think, you know, Geraldine, that over the years you would have been a little bit more refined than you are, you know, right?
You're wanting miracles, huh?
No, refined
is not part of me. No.
No, it is. So anyway, I don't know what got into all that. But where to begin? Well, the Pope is in, everybody know?
Korea.
Korea. And we were talking about, kind of interesting yesterday, the different things that Koreans, I mean, this is a very sophisticated nation. And
yes.
People are hard workers. They call them workaholics. And all that, I shared some of that stuff with, like Nick is a workaholic, he says, you know?
Yeah, because I work a lot and all over the place.
Yeah.
I know how you feel. Like.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say I was a workaholic, but...
No.
But yes, I am. I think I am. I might
I know
be.
You
I think
are.
You are, too.
I don't,
you
think
are.
I don't know if it's by nature, but I think it's just the nature of the...
I think it's mainly by nature.
Maybe.
Or sign of the times. Both.
What's that?
Sign of the times.
A sign of the times.
Because, I mean...
A sad sign of the times.
I tell you that because not only me, but a lot of my friends are doing that, too. Working two or three jobs like myself and, you know, trying to make ends meet with everything like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, since you just mentioned that, let me...
It keeps you out of trouble, too.
Well, it does. well, you know, it's better to be busy than not to be busy.
Idle hands are the devil's playground.
That's right.
Good.
That's an old wives' tale. Did you make that up?
No, I did not. It was before
Jerry's
my
wives.
Time.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
An old wives' tale.
Yes, I heard that.
But anyway, that is interesting because, you know, what Nick was saying, I was reading an article today before we got into the Pope's... visit in South Korea, but it's interesting that for the first time in American history, in the history of our nation, there's this great pessimism. You know, I've said before that I think I tend to be a pessimistic, but I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful, so I'm not a despairing pessimist, but I tend to be a bit pessimistic. What is it? Half full, half empty, the cup, the glass. You know, I would say probably my nature is to say it's half
empty,
you know.
But it's also realistic.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
I think so.
Sure. Well, it seems like most Americans feel that way, according to what I was reading this morning. Let me just see if I can pull out some of these comments. That there's something, it's not just the economy. You know, people don't have faith in the economy. There's just a lot of pessimism about what's coming, and it's not just about the economy, but that's a major portion of it. It's a major part of it, but something deeper is at work, and the suggestion is that Americans are reacting in part to the breakdown of the political system. We're experiencing, we feel, the breakdown of a political of our political system. People don't believe, generally speaking, most people. I think what 70-some percent of people don't believe that America, that the nation has the ability to weather crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. One of the hallmarks of being an American is the optimism that your children will be better off. But today, people don't believe that, generally speaking. Most people don't. 70-some percent believe that the children will not be better off. So they're pessimistic as they look into the future. And this is it, not just, you know, in view of President Barack Obama, but that this has been two decades of scorched earth politics, as quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So the larger the problem is larger than any leader's ability to bring hope and change. Again, for much of U.S. history, we've been optimistic. Let's see, when asked if life for our children's generation would be better than it has been for us, yeah, fully 76% said they do not have such confidence. Only 21% have that confidence it'll be better. But 76% believe it'll be worse for our children, our children's children.
Hmm.
And this pessimism was universal. It's not just in the United States, but it also much of the world is in a rather pessimistic place. And you can't doubt that, or you easily understand when you see what's happening all over the world. You know,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, it's. I was thinking about this morning after I read this. You know, in many ways, we've got it. We're better off than we've ever been in society, as far as when you think of the things we've got. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was in a very bad bike accident back in 1850.
Whoa,
he was pretty old. Pretty old.
They're older than me.
Yeah, older than you, Joe. No, 1986. Joe, I was talking to
Joe.
Yeah, and he was in a very, very bad accident. They didn't expect him to live, you know.
He did tell me his story, yes.
On Lakeshore Drive.
Mm-hmm. He's
and,
a miracle.
And I had to tell him, you know, as he was explaining what happened, that he was on a bike and another biker hit him, sideswiped him, and threw him into a concrete something, a wall or something. And I said, you know, that happened to me as well. And he said, what year, what day, you know, because the biker went, you know, but I was on the Lakeshore. It's the last time I rode a bike, and somebody stepped into my path. Well, you know, you're moving pretty fast with all the other bikes. And at that time, I don't know if they still do I don't see many people doing the line skate. What is that? Like the ice skating on roller, on wheels.
Oh, the rollerblading.
We're rollerblading. Rollerblading. But at that time, everybody was out rollerblading and biking.
I don't
see
that anymore.
Yeah, you don't see it so much.
No, you don't see much of it.
But we were all on that bike trail, and it's joggers and bikers and rollerbladers and all that. And it was just moving. You had to move, because if you didn't move, you know.
Get hit.
Yeah, you get.
And
you
somebody stepped right off the beach right into the path of my bike.
Oh.
And I heard the head hit the concrete, and they had to call an ambulance and everything. But anyway, so Joe, when I was telling Joe, I said, I've been there, done that. And he says, what day, you know. Because, and it was probably in the 90s, because I was already here. So it was probably the last time I rode the bike after that, because I was wounded as well. I was injured as well. Yeah, but nobody came to help me. I helped myself. You know, had to put my bike back together, and I had
pick yourself up. Go on.
I was. It took me a long time because the leg. You know, I lost all the, from the knee down. Mm. I lost a whole layer of skin, and that's where you bend your. So anyway, you don't want to hear about my woes. But anyway, so he. But the thing that struck me, he was telling. He says, you know, they had to call an ambulance, but in those days, nobody had phones, right?
Wow.
So somebody had to go to a phone.
The public phone. Yeah.
A public phone to call the
ambulance.
The ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And he was conscious immediately after. Then he went into, he was unconscious.
Yes.
And he was, but they, it went to worse. And they didn't expect him
to live.
Pull out of it.
No. Oh, my.
And he was in recovery for almost a year. But anyway, more than a year.
Yeah, it was, yes.
Very,
it was a
very,
long time.
It's amazing when you see him now, you know, that he survived,
because
he looks so healthy.
Yes.
But anyway, why did I bring that up? Why did I bring that up? For what reason?
I don't know. I'm becoming like you, Father. That's happening to me now. That I'm talking, and then I don't know where I'm. What?
What's the point that you wanted to make?
But you're supposed to know what I'm thinking, you know. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Where did that come from? I don't know why I brought that up. But anyway, the point is that, I guess with the technology. With all the things that we have today. We have so much. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so much. And yet there is not only this pessimism, but this kind of a grim outlook on life. We're not, you know, we're as I say, very pessimistic. It's all women, men,
probably even the animals.
The different races, from different regions.
It is interesting that this is supposed to help us, and it's not really. No. I mean, for the short run, I guess, for the little bit, yeah, it's helping. But then there's all these problems that come after it.
Sure.
The problem is that we rely on this technology we're not using our brains. We're not using logic anymore.
It's like the ability to think is gone.
Right. Yes,
too often.
Because it thinks for ourselves.
To have to simplify one's life or to appreciate and to even to take from a simple life. I think, you know, when the economic downturn really hit the United States pretty hard, there were reports of people who had lost their jobs but had discovered a hidden gift in that, you know, in the sense that they found that they were spending more time with their family and all that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, it's just not the economic outlook on life today or looking into the future, but it's the as they were saying, basically the loss of optimism in the political system. Mm-hmm. People feel that this is a dysfunctional political system, certainly corrupt, and that it hasn't the capacity, the means to deal with the crisis in our own nation. And you know, I don't want to say too much about the stuff going on in Ferguson, Missouri, but, you know, the media is such a manipulator. They manipulate so many things, and they stir up so many...
They twist everything.
And really create problems, you know. Yes. So before that, before anything could be... I mean, it's just coming out this morning, right? Mm-hmm. Because before there could be any... you know, anybody really knew what happened, you know, what was the cause of this. The unfortunate reality is this guy, Michael
Brown,
I think he was shot, he died. But, you know, he was the peaceful giant and all that. And he was made out to be, you know, almost kind of sanctified and all that.
Like
and
a hero.
You know, yeah. And, you know, it's a horrific thing that happened. And, sad for the family and for the community and all that, but the media, everybody jumped on it, and it was, you know, created him out to be something that he really wasn't, and nobody really knew the full story.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, and you've got these horrible images. You know, you've got on one hand you've got the police looking like the military, right? And so that's overwhelming. It's intimidating. It's frightening. You know, to see militarized police force, which seems to be an increasing reality in the United States. But then you've got, on the other hand, you got the images of these thugs. Can I use a word? You know, with what, the Molotov cocktail?
Yes.
And the violence and the looting and all that other stuff that was going on. And so, what do you do when you put these two together? You know, it's quite volatile.
Mm-hmm.
But the now the breaking news this morning is that he was it was a bit of an not an I don't know if it was an armed robbery, but he was
it was a robbery.
It was a robbery. Yes.
That's the thing I didn't. This is the first time I'm realizing. I thought, okay, an innocent person was shot.
Sure, yeah,
and now I guess all the damage is really done, because all these days, that's what's in my mind, and now I'm totally shocked.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm realizing more than anything, you really can't listen to what is being
exactly.
They don't know.
they manipulate. They do know. The thing is, they do know. In some cases, they do know, but they manipulate. They
Somebody
politicize. Everything
is
politicized.
They heard about this, but they never reported it.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I believe CNN or whatever. Yeah. But they were all. It was the same narrative that was being played over and over. And then you've got the different groups of people going out there, and it's just stirring up the
it's really interesting, because I always hear these things about talk radio. I mean, I listen to radio all the time. Sometimes, you know, I'm in the car, so, you know, I'd rather listen to news than radio, or news than music sometimes. But it is interesting because people always say, oh, you got that from, you know, conservative, whatever show you're listening to.
Sure.
But I've always, and this has been in the last years, I listen to everything. I mean, I listen to news all the time, and I hear it from different sources,
sure.
and I hear the same thing sometimes, but then I hear that little kernel of the truth somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting how, you know, people will tell you, oh, you heard that from this radio station or that radio station. But if you're one of those people that just takes all the sources of information, somewhere down the line, you usually get the truth. And if I hear the same thing over and over again, I'm thinking maybe, okay, there's some kind of truth in that.
Right.
But then the reports, you know, sometimes it's the same kind of lie reported
sure.
over and over and over again.
And
it makes
even,
me suspicious.
Yeah, and you can't even necessarily trust the images
exactly.
either, because there's some manipulation of images, photography and all that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. And evidently this guy went for the policeman's gun.
Right, that's what I'm hearing.
Police officer's gun and all that. So and in any case, it's a tragedy all the way around, but it seems to have been, it's certainly being politicized, and it's mm-hmm. been... you know, and it does say something about you know, what's happening in the nation, you know.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it's anyway, whatever, we'll put that to
we
rest.
Honor the what? Telling of lies. That's mm-hmm. what we do.
Yeah,
we think it's swell.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Yeah, why
just,
is that?
I don't know.
What purpose does it serve?
It serves no purpose.
So why do they do it? They do it. You get it? They do it, not you,
they.
Not
mm-hmm.
me.
Because it's a low opinion of human beings, I'm afraid. You can tell them anything. Doesn't have to have truth in it.
Don't
just say anything. Words.
You know, what's interesting is I say this from time to time, but it, you know, we're adults and you know, supposed to be mature. you know, and I guess we all look at ourselves and we I can don't know that I'm that different from when I was in the third grade. And
no.
And Geraldine, I can't. I can imagine. I can just picture you in the third grade and
same
Christina
as I am
and
now.
Tony. I mean, I think if we were to go back to the third grade, I think we'd be able to recognize everybody. You know,
yes.
just maybe not physically recognized,
right.
but by way of character.
Yes.
I think the point is, you know, that sometimes the big bad adult world is not much more than a world of.
Yammering,
yeah,
human
yeah,
beings,
you know, yeah,
yes,
you know, not to
spoiled.
Be spoiled. I mean, I believe in the good of the human person. Believe me, I do. Otherwise,
yes.
But we are in many ways manipulated by much of what's happened. You know, when I was in journalism school, when I went studied journalism in school, you know, there was at that time there was this, you know, this all this about yellow journalism and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to be very objective, and you wouldn't dare. You know, there were boundaries within which you report the news and you tell a story and all that kind of stuff. And but today it just seems like it's all yellow journalism. You know, it's all embellishment and distortion
mm-hmm.
and lie and manipulation and, you know, putting forth a given agenda. You know, people may be listening and say, "Well, you know, are we not doing the same thing?" Well, I certainly don't think we're certainly not. I'm just trying to. I mean, I value truth
mm-hmm.
and. We're trying to, anyway, whatever, you know. Do we have an agenda? Yeah, I guess we do, don't we? You know, our agenda is to bring, to be realistic about mm-hmm. what is going on in life and in the world and to try to maintain hope and to give hope and to help, you know, ourselves and others to try to see beyond what is the given
mm-hmm.
reality, as bleak, as dark as it may be. And sometimes, you know, people may, I've been accused of, you know, saying, well, you're too pessimistic, or you don't give hope, or whatever. And other times, you know, I don't know. It depends, I guess, where we're coming from. You know, we
yeah.
don't want to be in la la land, or you know,
can't
put
be.
Our head in the sand and pretend that everything is fine. And you know, because things are not fine, and that's why we've got to awake and reawake. The winds have changed. That's a purpose. There's a reason why we call this the winds of change,
right.
Because things have changed, and so the question is, how do we then adapt, or how do we confront, or how do we deal, or how do we coexist? You know, how in this, right? Recognizing within ourselves that I go back to the wheat and the weed. Within ourselves, there's wheat and weed, right? There's the
oh,
wheat
yes.
and the weed,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean weed in the sense of a smoking weed,
right.
But you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so
no,
you got that. You understand that, Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the dark and the light are kind of there always somewhat woven together.
Yes.
We have to always kind of look to the light. Anyway, speaking of looking to the light, we got to get this break in. So we're going to do that now, and then we'll come back and if we made any sense whatsoever, you know, good for so be it. But if not, you know, we'll try to. We'll try to. I'm on a Misery Loves Company, or if I'm sinking here, I'm going to let you guys sink with me. You know, we're all going to go down together.
We're here for you, Father.
Okay, we do it. But we'll come back and let's look at the Pope in Korea and also the Feast of the Assumption, this great glorious feast, the truth of what Jesus said that we will share in his resurrection if we but remain faithful. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change and the Pro-Life Action League. Hope you're having a great summer. We love summer ourselves. But there's a downside to summer for pro-life activists. Between vacations and preparing for the new school year, many pro-life volunteers take a break from pro-life activities at this time of year. But Planned Parenthood never takes a break from aborting babies, and they're doing it right here in our community. Make a special effort to join the Pro-Life Action League this Saturday, August 16th at 9 a.m. at Planned Parenthood in Aurora at New York Street and Oakhurst Drive. Join us. You might just be saving a life. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries. And games for adults, including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I got a reminder to Natalie to have that music actually playing in the at the spaghetti dinner, because it just, it's a happy, happy, puts you in a happy mood, right?
It sounds Italian to
it
me.
It is Italian.
It's funiculi funicula.
It is. What's that?
Ah. Funiculi funicula. Oh,
so you know it.
I know it. Exactly. Oh, yes.
What is the, you know, one of my favorite parts of the movie, The Godfather, the first, I haven't seen it in many, many years, but I like the wedding. Yeah,
the wedding.
I love that song.
The
you know?
Song and the mother's singing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know the words.
I tell you, you know, we need celebration. You know,
yes.
We need celebration. We need feast, fiesta. This is important, healthy fiesta, healthy celebration in life is very, very important. And I don't think we have enough of that. Yeah. I say healthy.
No.
I'm talking about healthy.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, so
there
anyway,
has to be a balance.
A nice balance. Because life is work, you know, and we're in the work of life. So the Holy Father, the Pope, Francesco, he did something. He's in South Korea. He did something he hasn't done up to this point in his papacy. Can you imagine what he did?
No.
Now, you know he's tone deaf.
Oh, he's saying? He chanted?
No, he didn't chant. He spoke in English. He gave a full...
Oh, he spoke in English.
He gave
yes.
a full speech in English, or a homily, or discourse, or exhortation, or something he did. He did in English.
I'd like
and,
to hear that.
Yeah, yes. I went to. I was trying to download it, but I couldn't find it, you know. But, yes. But I did hear a little part where he spoke to the young people, and he says, he said something like, do you want me to go on or something? Like, but it was very. He does have a, you know, he does have a beautiful
accent.
Well, it's a beautiful grandfatherly.
Grandfatherly
disposition.
Image
yeah, mm-hmm. The way he talks, he's got he has a natural joy.
There's kindness.
There's
in
a
there.
Kindness. Yeah,
yes,
it's a kindness. A little bit like Pope John the 23rd, you remember very well.
I do, Father, yes.
Geraldine, yes.
or this other priest, Father Agnello, who was an Italian priest that came to St. Stan's one time.
Yeah, I didn't meet him.
Well,
I
he
heard
was,
about him. Everybody
sad,
told me.
He was like a grand, he was round and
right.
sad. And it was like talking to your grandfather.
That's why people keep bringing me all that food. They want me to be
round.
More joyful, round and joyful, like a Santa Claus or whatever, you know.
They're trying to get you fat, Father.
Yeah. But anyway, and good food, by the way. I say there's, I'm so blessed because I get a genuine Filipino food, genuine food from Puerto Rico, from Mexico, from Italian, Polish. I get it all, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway. But anyway, so he spoke in English. Yeah, that was very nice. He encouraged the Koreans, the Christian Koreans, to be leaven in their society. I say this because he's speaking to them, but through them to all of us, to the whole world. But that we be leaven in society. We have to be the seed. We have to be the salt. We have to be the light in the darkness. To be the leaven, to embrace true freedom, genuine freedom, the freedom of loving God and one another with a pure heart. And he says that, you know, as may the Christians, and speaking to the Koreans, but be a generous a force for spiritual renewal at every level of society. May they combat the allure of a materialism that stifles authentic spiritual and cultural values and the spirit of unbridled competition, which generates selfishness and strife. Now, there were tens of thousands. The stadium was full. It seats about 50,000 people, so there, I don't know if they had a full 50,000, but they had quite a few, thousands of people. I'm looking at a picture of it here, and it looked like it was packed, full. But he also said, you know, we have to reject inhumane economic models which create new forms of poverty and marginalized workers, and the culture of death, which devalues the image of God, the God of life, and violates the dignity of every man, woman, and child. And he calls the Korean Catholics to be heirs to a noble, that they are heirs to a noble tradition. Because this is a nation, by the way, that wasn't, in essence, it wasn't catechized by missionaries or, you know, the conquistadores, you know. This was a nation, from what I read, I think the king and the queen had gone to China and had been introduced or picked up books from the Jesuits, spiritual books. And this is what brought them to, I don't know if it was a king or somebody, but brought them back. And the people began to read these books and their commentaries on the sacred scripture and all this. And this is what really brought the conversion to Korea, to South Korea, or to the whole of Korea. To parts of Korea, because they're still a minority, but it's a very, very fast.
So they didn't have the missionaries in Korea like the other.
Perhaps later, but initially it started, it was among themselves. That's why I said, you know, he canonized, or he will canonize while he's there, 124 martyrs. And of those, only one was a priest. They were all lay people. Most of them were all lay people, all but the one. That's what I was reading, you know. So the Pope, it says, you know, that we've got to be, we have to be renewed and converted to the Word of God and have a very passionate concern for the poor, for the needy, for the vulnerable in our midst. And in speaking of the fact that this is the Mass today for the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that Our Lady shows us our own destiny as God's adoptive children and members of the mystical body of Christ, if we speak about that so often, you know, we're part of a family. That's why your brother shared with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Like Mary, our mother, we're called to share fully in the Lord's victory over sin and death and to reign with him in his eternal kingdom. That kingdom has come, but it's not fully realized. But by virtue of baptism and the sacraments, our receiving Holy Eucharist, our confirmation, we are truly the disciples of Christ to give witness to the world that the kingdom has come. It's not fully realized. The world is passing away. Nations are passing away. But in the end, God is a God of history, that the kingdom will be fully realized. And certainly we will pass from this life into the next. And so we celebrate in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin, as I said, the truth, the victory, that is the Lord's victory over sin and death, that we're called to share in that victory. And so in the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin into heaven, we see our own destiny. And so we seek her prayers of intercession, loving intercession, always at work in history, in the history of the nation, our nation, all the nations, in the lives of people, if we're disposed, you know, because again, this is a relationship. So It calls for a response. We just can't sit back and be spectators. We got to get into the drama, into the story. This is our story. And the Pope discussed the reading from the second reading from the Mass, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, saying that it taught that Christ, his obedience to God the Father, has overturned the reign of sin and bondage and inaugurated the reign of life and freedom, and that true freedom is found in our loving embrace of the Father's will. And what is the Father's will but that we obey the commandments of God and that we give of ourselves fully to the Lord, that we turn our lives over to Christ, and who knows us better than we know ourselves, and who can bring forth from us the best that is in us and remove from us the falsehood, the masks, and bring us into our true selves as created in the image and likeness of God. And so from Mary, full of grace, we learn that Christian freedom is more than liberation from sin. It's a freedom for a spiritual way of seeing earthly realities. It is a freedom to love God, to love our brothers and sisters with a pure heart, and to live a life of joyful hope for the coming of Christ's kingdom. She is our mother of hope, and in her all God's promises have been proved trustworthy. He said that the hope of the gospel is the antidote to the spirit of despair. Going back to that article about it's a pessimism, but also a kind of despairing. So it's one thing to be pessimistic. In other words, okay, I see, look at the signs of the times, mm-hmm. and it's cause for pessimism, because if there's not a conversion of the heart, if there's not a metanoia, a change of heart, a reawakening to deeper values and principles and to God as a foundation of all things, the beginning, the first cause, you know, our good beginning, our good end, in God we're sustained. Then, if we just go, choose to do it our way, then we see what the consequences are. And so, unless we see a change, you know, there's cause for pessimism. As you can see, you see somebody going down a path, and you know that path is going to bring them to their mm-hmm. own ruin. And so there's a pessimism. There's a hope that, you know, they're going to turn around, and or get put themselves back on that narrow path that leads to life. And that what is that path? But it's Jesus. You know, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So, but the antidote to the spirit of despair, as he says, that seems to grow like a cancer in societies which are outwardly affluent, yet often experience inner sadness and emptiness. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that so true? Mother Teresa said that, didn't she, when she came to the United States? She said, well, she worked among the poorest of the poor, and people would often speak about and certainly admired, you know, that she went into the gutters of India, Calcutta. What do they call Calcutta today? It's a different,
I don't know.
To the ancient name. Anyway, Calcutta maybe, or something. Maybe it's a similar, like Bombay is different today too. Mumbai? I don't know. Anyway, things are changing all the time. Right?
I know.
But anyway, so into the gutters of Calcutta, and you know, went to the poorest of the poor. But when she came to the United States, she said, "But this is the real poverty." She mm-hmm. says, "It's a spiritual poverty. Yeah. It's in the inside. The you know, on the surface, things look okay, but in the inside, there's a lot of sadness, a lot of emptiness." And the Pope is making reference to that, isn't he? The antidote to the spirit of despair that seems to grow like a cancer in societies which are outwardly affluent yet often experience inner sadness and emptiness. He says, upon how many of our young people has this despair taken its toll? Yeah. You know, he says, may the young who surround us in these days with their joy and confidence, he's speaking to the youth in Korea, may they never be robbed of this hope. And so asking Our Lady to guide our efforts to transform the world in accordance with God's plan. And Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, we entrust to you, and he entrusted to her all those who died in the ferry disaster earlier in the year. If you remember that, there were all those young people who died mm-hmm. from a school. But anyway, so that's really what the Holy Father has said to the people at the Mass this morning in South Korea. All right, today's a feast of the Assumption of Our Lady. We'll continue talking about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we shall be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Lord,
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org for the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's two blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change and the Pro-Life Action League hope you're having a great summer. We love summer ourselves, but there's a downside to summer for pro-life activists. Between vacations and preparing for the new school year, many pro-life volunteers take a break from pro-life activities at this time of year. But Planned Parenthood never takes a break from aborting babies, and they're doing it right here in our community. Make a special effort to join the Pro-Life Action League this Saturday, August 16th at 9 a.m. at Planned Parenthood in Aurora at New York Street and Oakhurst Drive. Join us. You might just be saving a life.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Summertime is here. It's almost gone. Can you believe it?
The kids are almost back at school.
They really are. Well, the teachers are. The teachers are now, for sure. I had a mass this morning at 8 o'clock for, they have something going on in our school, so big shoulders, and teachers are coming from all over the archdiocese for some training or workshop or something in the school. So they're
probably protesting the start of school. to get people's attention.
Exactly. No. Don't be pessimistic, Geraldine. No. You know, they're very happy to be back. They're ready to go.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy for
them. I know
them.
The parents are happy.
Exactly. But they, no, so they're,
I know about the kids.
They're back in school. In fact, the Holy Trinity crowd was in the crowd. I mean, some of the teachers were at Mass this morning at 6:15. So it's already this morning I can see that the preparations are being made for the return of the munchkins.
And I think that some of the children are happy because they get to see their friends again.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of those kids are.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're excited.
Were you happy to go back to school?
No, I wasn't.
I was never.
Mine was after Labor Day.
By the way, after Labor Day. Well, my same for me, I think.
Yeah.
It was always, by the way, and it occurred to me, I was thinking the last couple of days, what is it about this time of year that is a little depressing? Okay, now we're going to talk about depression, right? But, okay, in addition to being a little bit pessimistic, I feel this little bit of depression, you know, not just a sadness, a depression. And I realize, you know what it is? I say, I go through this every year. What is it? It's going back to when I was a kid, and it meant you're going back to school.
Oh, yes.
It'd be like a Sunday, too, you know, by mid-afternoon Sunday.
Oh, I hated Sunday afternoons.
I hated it with a passion.
I still do.
Even though they have, do you really? Yeah.
Well, because of the work. Yeah. Anticipating.
Exactly.
It's nice to, you know.
Well, you know, that's
the
reason why it's nice for me, because I live where I work, and I work 7 days a week, so I don't get a chance to, it's never, it's only when I go away like I did a couple of weeks ago. I was in New York City and having to come back, and the plane's coming toward Chicago. What is it that I'm beginning to feel this heaviness, this darkness
kind
of descend? But, what was that? There were two shows, you know, when I was a kid that I used to watch on Sunday to try to come out of this stupor, this this depression, this. And it was The Wonderful World of Disney.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then Bonanza. Bonanza, that was on Sunday night.
I remember that.
And those are the two things I would watch, you know. And even though I knew I didn't have my homework done, that was added to the depression, you know.
Leave it all till the night before.
Leave it to the night before, but anyway.
I always did that.
Yeah.
What I got on Friday, I waited till Sunday evening, and I got to go back.
I know, it's, well.
But you know why too, Father? Because during the summer, we get a break from meetings. So
exactly,
to me,
yeah.
So then here comes, okay, the kids are away. It's a little quieter, although we have more weddings and baptisms and quinceañeras. But
it's different.
Like the fundraising, the events, you get a break from that.
Exactly.
And then you go, you know,
I concur. I'm with you there.
So that's why.
That's where we're this week. Already. Do you realize how many times we had to bring the calendars out?
Yes.
We're starting to set dates for meetings here and there.
Yes, for the year, the coming year. Yeah. So yeah,
and
that's
it is.
What
it is. You're right about that. That's the nice thing about summer is the meetings seem to go away.
Yes.
You know, and the meetings with a passion. Yeah. With a passion. I despise meetings for some reason. There's another thing with daylight.
Yeah.
As we go through times now,
yeah,
we have less daylight. And I find that to be
depressing.
Something I don't like.
Yeah.
It's dark in the morning later, and it gets earlier it gets dark. So
we see the little book I have here?
Yes.
Do you know what that says?
No, Timus. Something the night.
Don't fear the night.
Oh.
Don't fear the darkness. I was going to talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about it, not today, but later. But I found this. I had it, but how you put something away and you lose it.
Yes.
And boy, I tell you, I'm so happy to find it. But these are the writings of St. John of the Cross.
Ah.
And I was going to share a little bit today, but we're not going to get into it. But there's some of his writings for 30 days, you know.
Okay.
And I realized how rich and how beautiful. But the night of darkness, the night of the soul, not to fear the dark, but he speaks about the, we're not going to go on, but just the, not to fear the dark, you know, because
that's why we are always told to keep Christ in the center of focus on Christ, because he's the light.
Exactly.
In the darkness, he's the light and hope.
And that's the thing about the dark, you know, that should bring us to look to the light. Okay, so we can't see the sun, right? Mm-hmm. The light of the sun. But this should bring us to look into the light that is Christ, right?
The Son of God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So try to do that, Jerry.
I will. You know? I was awake between 12:30 and 2:30 last night.
Yeah.
And the only thing that kept me going was, you know, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on
me,
a poor sinner.
Yeah.
And I just kept saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his writings, you know, speak about the fact that when all of a sudden you realize that the night loses its light, he's talking about the dark night. So the earth, everything becomes, life goes out of everything.
Yeah.
People go through that sometimes. We were talking about the depression the other day, but it's an opportunity, you know, to really go to the God we cannot see, you know,
right?
To just throw ourselves into the heart of Jesus, the heart of Our Lady, and let the Lord bring us through this. So we come to the realization and the appreciation that really everything beautiful in this world is nothing against the beauty that God is. And when we celebrate today the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we're celebrating. In fact, the first reading, I love that, from the Book of Revelation. You know, the woman clothed with the sun, the skies, the heavens open, and the Ark of the Covenant appears, and then the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars, and she's with child, pregnant with child, and the dragon, the enemy, the ancient serpent, Satan, named in a very specific way, in the Book of Revelation, it's about midway into the Book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, he waits for her to give birth to the child in order to destroy the child. Well, this is, she bears the Christ, right? She bears the Messiah. And so this is all kind of this cryptic language, imagery that is telling a story. And the child escapes in reference to his passing through death, Jesus, the suffering death, on the cross, he goes down into death, and he rises from the dead. Well, Satan has no power over him after he passes through the door of death. And so he goes, not that he had any real power over him even in life, right? But he tried to assert his power over him. And then the devil goes after the woman. And of course, the mysterious woman in Scripture, in the book of Genesis and the last book of the Bible and John's Gospel, because John writes the book of Revelation, is, in a broad sense, it's the church, the mystical body of Christ, espoused to the Lord. But in a very singular way, in a very specific way, it refers to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the woman who bore the Christ, who God chose to take his life from her life so that he has, God has the full DNA of the Blessed Virgin, if you think mm-hmm. about that. Mm-hmm. You see him, you have seen mm-hmm. Our Lady and the Blessed Virgin. So she too is given a place. She is, again, imagery that would refer to her passing beyond. A place has been prepared for her, right? And when she passes through death, Satan has no power over her. Now, mm-hmm. that's where the scripture will end in today's reading, but I always wish it would go on, because then it says, well, the serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan, what does he do at her escape? He waits for her children. Now, who are her children? They say, her children, those who give witness to Jesus and obey the commandments of God. That's who we are, you know? Yeah. And so the point being is that we're in this battle. There's a war that has been waged, you know, so we're in a battle. We're in conflict. We're in tension. As I say so often, you know, there's the assault that comes to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. What do? Well, we have to keep our eyes, as the gospel said on Sunday, you know, Peter, keep your eyes on me. If you don't doubt, don't, you man of little faith, put your eyes on me. Thank God Jesus also said, you know, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep your eyes on me. And so it's knowing, so what we celebrate today is really our destiny, right? The victory that Our Lady, the mystical rose, the first flower to come to full bloom, has a full share in the resurrection of Jesus, her son. And we, if we but remain faithful, and we're in the work of life, and we weather the storm, we fight the good fight, we claim the victory, then we too, as we make our way through it, we look beyond the here and now. We look into it, we peer into eternity, and we commit then to the work of life, to making the sacrifices necessary to weather the storms and to fight the good fight, right? And to do so not in a despairing way. Okay, so there may be cause for pessimism, but pessimism with hope. We have mm-hmm. hope, because we know that the victory, it's all going to end well. You know, at the end of the day, it's all going to end well. Death will give way to life. Darkness will give way to light. Evil will give way to good. And so we hold on to that, all right? So this is really what we're celebrating. This celebration of the Assumption is also the celebration of what has been what we're destined for. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to take a final break. Come back and wrap up. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's time to bend some spaghetti around the tines of your fork, because it's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's annual spaghetti dinner. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. There'll be spaghetti with meatballs or spaghetti with plain sauce, tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, coffee and juice, and assorted pastries. And games for adults, including raffles, prizes, 50-50 cash, and pot of gold. Oh, and did I mention there'll be live music, too? Tickets are only $9 for adults, $5 for children ages 10 and under. You can get tickets at the parish office or at the door. That's the St. Stanislaus Kostka annual spaghetti dinner, Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka School in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Bring an appetite, bring a friend. Sunday, September 14th, from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us on this, the Feast of the Assumption. of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We only have just a few minutes. Maybe you guys want to say something. Do you have any comments or?
No, Father.
No? Okay, no, then I'll just keep going, right?
Keep going, Father. Keep going. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, that the dogma of the Assumption, you know, some people have this, because the Church declared infallibly, in other words, from the chair of Peter, only in 1950. So that was only, what, 64 years ago? And so people had this assumption. They have this assumption that it was just known in 1950. It's amazing how many people I've heard this from. But I want to explain where this comes from. First of all, the feast of the Assumption goes back to the earlier centuries of the Church. It was always celebrated, the Assumption of Mary into heaven, her birthday, her dormition, her birthday into heaven. We call it her birthday into heaven, her falling asleep and an awakening in heaven. So this has been the celebration of the Church, you know, from the very beginning. And certainly, why would she not? She's the mother of the Messiah. You know, she bore the Christ. She bore God. God took his flesh from her flesh. But it was only declared infallible teaching. It's always been infallible teaching, but it was dogmatically proclaimed in 1950. Why do you think? Any idea? Why did it take that long?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. Because the world had just been through the Second World War, mm-hmm. and millions upon millions upon millions of people died, perished, were exterminated. And the world was in, you can imagine, you know, the state of the world. And so the Church, in declaring in a very public way before the world in 1950, it happened to be the Marian year, it was a proclamation, a reminder to people that don't despair, because we're destined to share in the resurrection of Christ. And see, there's a difference between the ascension of Jesus into heaven and the Assumption of Mary into heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus ascended into heaven by his own power. Mary couldn't go to heaven by her own power, but she was assumed by the power of God into heaven. She's a creature. She was created as we are created. Before she's our mother, she's our sister. But by God's decision, by the authority of God, by the command of God, she becomes our mother. Naturally, because we're adopted sons and daughters of the Father. God, the Father, so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world and to adopt us as sons and daughters. Jesus gave his mother to us right before he went down into his own death, before the great gift of the redemption. He gave this gift of his mother to us so that we brothers and sisters of the Lord, by virtue of adoption, are sons and daughters of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so, but she is, before our mother, she is our sister. And she was assumed into heaven, our mother, the first, the mystical, the first to come to full bloom. And so the Church, in proclaiming in a very public way in 1950, was to say, everybody listen, you know, we're not defeated. We are destined to share in the resurrection of our Lord. Your loved ones, all those who have gone before, you know, and this is why we pray for the dead, we live a virtuous life, we try to obey the commandments, we try to, you know, stay on that path, because, you know, we want to remain in God's grace, in friendship with God, so that we can indeed, you know, experience the full realization of God's kingdom in the company, not only of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but in the company of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin, our mother, the saints, and our ancestors, grandparents, great-grandparents, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, you know, the whole family. Anyway, that's the good news, isn't it, really?
Yes.
The victory is ours. We keep the faith. Everybody, have a weekend, right? This is weekend.
Yes,
all
weekend.
All right, have a good weekend, a very wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time.